Hey, you guys. It's Tuesday.
Yeah.
I'm still fucking tired today, even though I slept the right... Where's she going? Okay.
She's running around.
She was behind my chair, and I was, like, afraid to back up.
Part of it's the weather.
Yeah, it is kind of, like, very muggy and humid still.
It's kind of in between.
It's not too bad. Like, I went out for a walk this morning about 7:15 or something like that, and it was... It's yucky, but it's not.
Yeah, we're just sick of it, bad. Man. We're just sick of it, you know. Just ready for it to start cooling down, so we can actually go out and without feeling like just in Dagobah and fucking swamp.
Yeah,
goes on for like three months out of the year, 4 months out of the year. It's pretty bad.
Longer than that.
I can handle it hot. It's just not when it's fucking super hot. You know?
Yeah, like I said, not like when you open the door and it's like walking into like a wet. Yeah. Oven or something like that. It's like a blanket.
The super super hot of it is really only 2.5 months, maybe 3 months. The rest of it, it's kind of hot.
I don't know. It's always too hot for me.
Yeah, she likes cool weather.
I like
it. It's kind of hot, but it's
I would like it if it was just like cool to cold all the time.
As soon as it starts getting in the 80s, I'm okay with it. I just don't like it in the 90s.
Yeah, or hundreds.
90s or the hundreds. That's
and then
fucking bad.
99% humidity.
Yeah.
Beowulf was saying something about the Kukulkan. You haven't had that drink on the
I
show
in
a long time.
Yeah.
We put it in the cookbook.
Yeah.
But you know, it's pretty easy to make, but I kind of figured that
I had to take a break from had to break up with tequila for a while. Drinking too much tequila.
Tequila's expensive too. It is
here in the US. It's the good shit's expensive.
We've been doing mostly vodka.
Yeah.
And honestly, we just went like cheaper flavored vodkas.
Yeah.
Like
they're cheap.
Pinnacle and stuff.
Cheap, easy to mix, and they're fucking effective. Cheap and effective.
And they go with everything.
They go with everything. Yeah.
Which is nice. Pinnacle. Which, like I said, that's kind of why I like it.
Comes in a big old plastic bottle. Pinnacle. Yeah.
Well, that's good because then if I'm clumsy and I drop it, then it won't break.
Pinnacle cake and Pinnacle whipped cream. Those are the two main ones.
Yeah, like I said, they go with everything.
Yeah.
Louis says it was 96 here yesterday. Yeah, I think it was 90. It says it's 90 degrees right now, mostly cloudy. That's what it says on my thing.
When it's in the low 80s, and it's going to start getting into the low 80s in a couple weeks. And when it starts getting into that, then I don't give a shit as much. 70s is easy.
I kind of wish it was in the 50s and below all the time.
Right.
I don't even know if there's anywhere on Earth where it's in the 50s and below. It's not like Antarctica or something like that. I don't want to freeze my balls off either. I just don't, you know. I just like it like in the 50s or below.
It's like between 80 and 83 for a long time here.
Yeah.
That goes on for quite a while.
True.
But that's not that bad. I can deal with it.
Yeah, well, if you have air conditioning, it's not too bad.
Yeah. Well, even outside, you know, I can wear a motorcycle armor and ride at that. It's not a big deal.
Yeah.
When it's in the 70s, it's nice. Real nice.
All right. So you guys had been... I had several people, like, recommend this movie to me, and I just, like... And I kept putting it off. I didn't realize it was that old. I didn't realize it was from 2011. But and I had it on my list for, like, a really long time. And then finally, last night, I was like, okay, fucking finally, I'm going to sit down and watch this. I think it was on Amazon Prime. Might have been... I think Louis recommended it, and I think somebody else did as well. And I've seen it on a couple other lists. This is the 2011 movie Take Shelter, starring the awesome... Michael Shannon. How can you not fucking love Michael Shannon? He fucking rules. We just saw that thing the other day, Elvis and Nixon, right? Where he played Elvis and that. He does actually make
Doesn't look anything like Elvis, but he pulled it off.
He captured the essence of Elvis.
Yeah.
The cool thing about Michael Shannon is that...
Captured the Elvis when Elvis isn't working.
Yeah.
That's what was good about him. What's the cool thing about him?
The cool thing about him is that he's this big hulking... dude, and he's like he's really good at playing parts where I kind of would say that he's got like a simmering craziness like under there, but he can also but he's real good, and this comes across in this one as well, where you totally buy that he maybe is losing his mind, but then maybe not. Like, he's very taciturn, but you can see like in his eyes or like little you know, facial expressions and stuff like that, that he's maybe like losing his shit. And it's just like, he's really, really good at conveying that.
It's funny. We were talking about that fucking bonkers ass fucking Christian movie that had fucking old Bill Paxton in it.
Frailty.
We were talking about Frailty, and this movie kind of reminded me a lot of Frailty.
It does a bit. And actually, the more I thought about it, it's like, this movie, man, this was really good. I mean, there was just something like, there's something, it's very, very slow, but there's something like hypnotic or like mesmerizing about it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So, yeah. Well, at least, well, that's kind of how I got to it. Like, Khan says, don't spoil it. I won't. But I will say that this is essentially, and I didn't realize this until, because I was thinking about it when I woke up this morning. This is essentially a Noah story.
Basically.
Is basically what it is.
It kind of, it's not a Christian movie, but it has kind of a Christian tone to it. But don't think of it as in fucking Orthodox Christianity, more like New Age spirituality, psychic abilities. That's really.
I mean, it could be.
Or is it delusion? It's.
It could be read in a lot of different ways, but like the more I thought about it, the more I was like, this is essentially like a modern, working class Midwest version of like the Noah story. Basically. Pretty much is what it is. Basically. So what you have is like Michael Shannon. He plays this guy named Curtis. And like I said, he's like a working class type dude. He works on a construction site or something like that. Makes decent money. Looks like his wife doesn't work, but she just has kind of like a, you know, or she works at home. And she has just kind of like a little side gig, like sewing and embroidering and stuff. And they have a daughter who's hearing impaired. And it looks like their life is like pretty good. But then he starts having these weird dreams and like weird delusions. And they kind of always, or hallucinations, I guess you would call them. They usually have something to do with him looking out and seeing like a really horrible, like apocalyptic storm coming.
Yeah.
And then sometimes like when it rains, like it's real, like how does he describe it in the movie? He says it's like motor oil. Like it's like raining this thick,
real thick stuff.
Like maple syrupy kind of rain. And he starts having all these dreams that people in his life are attacking him. Or, like, there's one where his, like, dog attacks him, and he has one, like, where somebody's, like, trying to kidnap his daughter. It's, like, so he has, like, all these really, really horrible, upsetting dreams. And they all have to do with, like, a storm coming, and he starts having this overwhelming feeling that something really, really, really bad is going to happen. And so this manifests into him. They have, like, they live in Ohio. I guess it's Ohio. And they live kind of on this, you know, in a rural kind of community. And they have like an old tornado shelter, like, you know, a lot of people in the Midwest have. But it hasn't really been used. So he decides that he's going to like build out this shelter because for this like coming whatever it is. He's not entirely sure what it is, but he knows that it's something really, really bad. And it's like apocalyptic. And the interesting thing about it, though, is that I think, like I said, it's better like not really like going too much into what the movie's about, because you don't actually know, because he has a history in his family of like mental illness, like paranoid schizophrenia. And he maybe thinks that maybe he's, you know, starting to manifest symptoms of that. But then again, on the other hand, he's also like pretty sure that like whatever this bad thing is, and he's not sure what it is going to happen. So it's interesting because then he starts, like, you know, when he starts building out this shelter and everything like that, obviously he has to take out this big loan and they can't really afford it. And, you know, and all this kind of, like, shit starts happening. So it's almost kind of like, it's like a Noah story, but it's also like a self-fulfilling prophecy type of story, because he had a good life at the beginning, but then like when all this stuff started happening, like he almost started like self-sabotaging. You could read it that way too. Or it's like I said, it doesn't have to be necessarily biblical, although that's kind of what I got from it. I got like an apocalyptic, because some of the shit that he sees, you know, with the storm clouds and the birds, especially like a couple times he sees like these crazy like birds flying in weird formations and shit like that. So I definitely got kind of like a biblical, but it's not like super, I don't feel like it's super, super up in your face that it's biblical, because it could be read in lots of different, which is just any kind of like apocalyptic scenario. I think
that's how he was interpreting it.
I think so too.
Because he might have had a Christian background, so he's interpreting it as something out of scripture, kind of. It's not, I mean, you know, he's not seeing visions of angels and Jesus or anything, but it's like the apocalypse is coming.
And it's almost kind of like, I think he says too to one of the counselors, because like I said, he's willing to entertain the fact that maybe he's just you know,
going crazy.
But then again, he's pretty sure that bad shit is going to happen, and he needs to like be prepared for it.
Yeah.
I kind of think that he thinks that when the rain comes, everyone's going to go crazy, because in his dreams, all the dreams are different, but like he says, like the rain kind of makes people go crazy or makes people attack him.
It can be a turn. It can be interpreted in a couple different ways. It's religious or psychic or instincts. It might be animal instincts that he knows that something's coming. He thinks it's coming. It might be a false alarm. A lot of people are you just got to see the movie. I hate to fucking.
Yeah, like I said, it's not, because I feel like a lot of, and Khan said that he hadn't seen it, so don't spoil it.
Yeah.
And somebody just commented, I love Take Shelter. That movie shows what would happen if a 21st century American were to become an Old Testament prophet.
Basically.
It kind of does have that. But like I said, it's not super over the top. It didn't actually really even, I mean, I got that it was like some of this stuff was apocalyptic in the sense of like biblical apocalypse, but it wasn't real. It could be interpreted, like I said, in lots of different
ways. Yeah, and you're not really sure. I don't think it was. Well, shit, man, I don't want to fucking ruin it. I don't think this is a worldwide apocalypse that he's foreseeing. I think he's seeing a localized event that for him and his family will be apocalyptic. But it's unclear. It's unclear. The way the movie ends, it's unclear. It's unclear what it is. It's almost kind of like there could have been more to the story. You just have to see it, you know. My interpretation is that it was kind of showing psychic abilities. That it's difficult to fucking really put your finger on them. They're kind of a mixture of a lot of things. They might seem to be religious, or they might seem to be maybe buried instincts within the human mind too. It's a phenomenon of the mind. So, difficult to measure what's going on in the mind. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's just that he's having visions of something he thinks coming in the future.
And like you said, it's great because it could be interpreted in just like a personal apocalypse, or it could be a worldwide apocalypse. Right. It could totally go either way.
It's not really clear.
He's just
listening to his instincts.
Yeah.
It's what, you know, I guess. You guys have to be the judge when you see it.
And I mean, I love Michael Shannon in pretty much everything. You know, he played Kuklinski too, didn't he, in the Iceman?
Yeah. I think we saw that, did we?
Yeah, I saw it. I don't know. I don't remember if you saw it. I thought you saw it too, but I saw it. Yeah, it was great. I've seen it a couple times, actually.
It's a good flick. Don't be in a hurry. This is not an action movie.
It's not. It's a psychological.
Yeah.
But like I said, there was something kind of like I was sort of like mesmerized by it.
It's not real challenging to watch. You don't really have to figure it out that much. I mean, it's good if you do. You don't really. You kind of have to pay attention to it.
But, you do.
But it's not that difficult, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fairly straightforward story, really. She's just having these visions.
Yeah, there were times where I thought it was kind of slow. I'm like, come on now, let's keep it moving. But that's what the director wanted to do.
Yeah, and this is, the director's Jeff Nichols. This was actually his second movie. He also did one called Mud, which a lot of people said was good, and I can't remember what the other one was called. But yeah, this was only the second one, and I think his first movie had Michael Shannon in it, too. Michael Shannon, like I said, I love him in everything, but he is so great in this. Just like the way that he plays this character is just, you can tell that this is a dude, you know, he's a Midwestern, working class dude. He's not one of these people that's like comfortable talking about their feelings. And he, indeed, that's one of the points of contention, like in the movie, that he keeps so much stuff from his wife. Like he doesn't tell her, she's played by Jessica Chastain, by the way. He doesn't tell her about all these dreams until like way later on. He doesn't tell her about like a lot of the stuff that he's doing, which makes her really angry, justifiably. So he's just very, because he's not sure if what he's seeing is actually going to happen or what it is, or if he's just going crazy. Because like I said, he does have a history of like in his family, like his mom.
This movie's kind of like one of these cool art flicks that punches above its weight. This is a low budget movie, but it's great. kind of up there with like Vivarium or Art of Self-Defense. And that actor from the what's that actor that was in both of those two movies? He played the blonde guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I like him because he chooses to be in these
Jesse Eisenberg, right?
Jesse Eisenberg. He chooses to do these little projects based upon how good the script is.
You still need to see The Social Network.
Yeah, I want to see it. He's doing the shit based on of the script. All right, how good the script is. So Eisenberg's flicks are going to be pretty good. They're going to be interesting. Well, Shannon looks like he's doing the same kind of thing. He's choosing the movie based upon the script. Maybe not so much the paycheck. Everything I've seen that guy in is also kind of like artistic. I liked his fucking Elvis and Nixon.
Yeah.
As a fucking masterpiece.
And you gotta, I mean, like I said, I'm always like, you know, I don't begrudge anybody like making some money. I'm not saying that. Yeah. But it's just kind of like, I really like actors who, because you can tell that they're in it because they love it. They want for the craft of it.
Right.
So they don't necessarily. And honestly, I think it's really cool too when somebody like, I'm trying to think of an actor that somebody like, I know this is out of left field, but somebody like Daniel Radcliffe, who was in all the Harry Potter movies when he was a kid, and then with that money, he just chooses to be in like just weird shit.
Shit that he wants to be in. Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I think that's great because he's like, well, I don't really need the money anymore, you know, because I made all the money. So it's like now I can just do shit I want to do instead of just like being in some big blockbuster that I don't want to be
now,
in.
Now, Nick Cage, he's going to be in any movie you fucking put in. Okay? But Nick Cage knows that, and he knows that you know that. Yeah. So that bitch leans into being in any old thing.
Well, and he knows that
the fuck out. He's now typecast as Caging the fuck out, and he doesn't phone it in. He's gonna fucking give you every fucking thing, no matter how shitty that movie is. His Alien rip or that Predator ripoff that he was in. Yeah. Boy, that was a piece of shit. But he did his cagiest. On that bitch.
Like I said, he's always worth watching, even if the movie sucks.
But then he'll show up in a masterpiece like Mandy.
Yeah.
Or he'll show up in
front of Willy's Wonderland.
Willy's Wonderland.
Where he didn't talk.
Didn't say a whole fucking
word. That Willy's, was so awesome.
And you know what's funny is that he didn't say a word in Willy's Wonderland, but still he caged his way through that whole fucking thing. Caging the fuck
But out. I love that he wanted to be in that just specifically because he didn't have a single line. I thought that was like pretty
Another
funny.
Guy who's kind of going down that road is Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis now has to be in anything. He's in some shitty fucking sci-fi action flicks.
Although
fucking bald ass.
Unlike Nicolas Cage, I won't automatically watch anything with Bruce Willis in it. I mean, I like Bruce Willis. He's fine.
Yeah, but his shit's getting bad.
But I kind of feel like for me to want to watch it, it still has to be a good movie. Whereas if Nicolas Cage is in it, I'll still watch it, even if it's a shitty movie, just because Nicolas Cage is awesome.
Yeah, but not Bruce Willis. Bruce Willis, anytime they need a white dude to be in space or something, or a white dude to fucking be tough beyond his years, a bald motherfucker, they'll put his ass in. He goes, yeah, I'll do it. He'll show up. He'll do it. Well, you want to see the movie? No.
No. Well, because I kind of feel like the movies that he would be in would just be not bad. They'd just be bland.
Yeah.
I just kind of feel like they'd be like kind of cookie cutter.
He's not quite at the Seagal level. Not yet. There's still a chance that fucking Bruce Willis might show up in a good movie. You know, there is no chance that Seagal will show up in a good movie.
Yeah, I kind of feel like once you've gotten down to that level, Bruce Willis could totally still be, like, show up in a decent movie.
I mean, they tried to get Seagal in a good movie, The Expendables 4, and he turned it down. He didn't want to work around it because he was afraid they were going to make fun of him.
Well, they probably would have.
They would
have.
All those dudes would make fun of him, so he didn't want to do it. So he will never be in a good movie again. Seagal. Expendables 4 with Seagal, I would see that shit 5 times over just to see fucking Seagal in that shit. You know, Tom, fuck you, you're an asshole.
Yeah, well, they would probably just spend...
I could carry a great movie, I don't need to be in Expendables 4. You know, I'd love to see him in Expendables 4. And please, fucking no more Chuck Norris. He fucking wants that bitch to be PG-13, man, fucking...
Yeah, screw
Expendables
that.
Four, Expendables
Chuck's,
4.
Chuck's never been fun. He's always like...
Fuck Chuck.
Louis asked, have I seen Midnight Special? I have not, but it is definitely on the list. Fourth Row Down said, I'll stick my neck out and say that in The Color Out of Space, I think Nicolas Cage was holding back. I think he was too a bit. He did cage out. I liked all the stuff with the llamas and everything. Yeah. But he wasn't like the craziest I've ever seen him.
Color Out of Space didn't quite work. It wasn't bad, but it wasn't as good as Mandy. Mandy fucking was banging on all cylinders.
That's true. I did like Mandy better than... Yeah. I really liked The Color Out of Space, but I liked Mandy a lot better.
It was good. I'd probably have to say that Willy's Wonderland was better than Color Out of Space. Just gonna say.
Maybe. I don't know if I'd go that far. Well, they're two very, very different movies. Watchable. It's like hard to compare them, I guess.
A lot more watchable. Although, you know, that was the same dude that directed fucking Island of Dr. Moreau, which everybody fucking said that movie was terrible. There was some... I remember when it came out, I liked it. It was fucking weird. It had our girl in it, fucking Firouza, dancing her cute fucking cat dance and shit.
I forgot she was in that.
She was the main attraction of the
fucking
movie.
Did I ever see that fucking movie? I kind of feel like I did, but maybe I don't... I'm pretty sure I saw it.
Evidently, behind the scenes, the people that nobody wanted to work with that director again. And he that was his first movie, and fucking he was real heartbroken about it, you know, and he kind of lost his career. So then he comes back with Color Out of Space, and it was real good, you know. It was a real good movie.
The visuals, for sure. I loved like all the fucking visuals and shit like that. That was a really cool looking movie.
It wasn't as good as Mandy, but it was good.
Yeah,
it was good. I would say it was better than Island of Dr. Moreau, and even that I didn't think that one was bad either.
I don't remember anything about it. Was Val Kilmer in that?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure I saw it. I just don't remember anything about it. Camp Guy said he was funny, but I kind of think Jim Carrey was overall overrated. I agree. Honestly, I couldn't really stand any of Jim Carrey's comedy. When he did serious roles, like he was fucking great in Eternal Sunshine of the Spotless Mind. He was fucking great in that because he wasn't trying to be funny. He was just trying to be like a normal person. And so he was really good in that. But I don't know. He can act when he wants to, but he's one of those people that he's just kind of like Adam Sandler. Yeah. It's just kind of like most of the time they just want to be like these over the top like goofballs and it's just not funny.
Yeah.
But they can actually act when they want to. It's just they choose not to most of the time for whatever reason. I'm not really sure.
There's only one Adam Sandler movie that is a masterpiece, and it's that Uncut Gems. That's a fucking masterpiece.
I loved
that
movie.
It's a great gangster movie.
I loved that movie.
Yeah.
Uncut Gems was good. Well, he was in some other good stuff, too. He was in Spanglish was pretty good. Yeah. What was that other one? I can't remember that other, like, kind of serious one that he was in.
Yeah, but Uncut Gems.
Punch Drunk Love was good.
Uncut Gems was a masterpiece, though.
It was, yeah.
That's a masterpiece film.
Yeah.
I don't have it. I need to buy it.
I think we saw it a couple times, didn't we?
Yeah. Very,
that was the most, super good. That was one of the most anxiety-inducing movies I've ever watched.
It's about a New York Jewish gangster guy, fucking, and he's and all these fucking scams he's running, and it's fucking great. It had you on the edge of your seat. The fucking bullshit he was doing with other people's money. You're like, how the fuck could a dude live with himself doing that to somebody else's money, betting, making loans, and fucking lying, and this and that, and making bets on sports games with other people's money and winning, and that's what he did. His whole thing was to chisel his way into your pocketbook and win.
Yeah.
And it's great
movie. Always on the hustle.
Always on the fucking hustle.
Yeah.
And there's a bunch of spiritual symbolism and stuff in it. Trying to think. There was something I was going to say that there was another masterpiece, and then like I was going to offset it with a fucking super flop. Oh, Pookie picked up the damn minty with one thing, she got it in one hand.
She loves those mint things. Every now and then, like, I buy her a couple more. Like, I think in the last box, I think I got 6 new ones because Beijing likes them too. They pick them up and, like, rub them all over their faces. It's mint. I guess mint and catnip are, like, the same plant family.
So, it's a solid flick. It's worth watching. Especially, you know, for such a low budget movie.
Yeah, I don't know. We're talking about Take Shelter now, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm not actually sure how much this costs to make, and there are actually, surprisingly, a lot of visual effects in this, you know, with all the storms and the birds and stuff like that, and it's actually really well done.
It couldn't have cost that much to make.
I don't think it did, no. I'm sure it didn't. But like I said, it's the great thing about it is that it really kind of cultivates, and like you said, it is very slow moving, so don't expect it to be kind of like this big action-packed, jam-packed, whatever, but there's something like really unsettling about it. Like, and I think that Michael Shannon's performance like really helps that out a lot because you're not entirely sure, and he's not entirely sure, you know, are these visions real? You know, am I just going crazy? And just the way he conveys it with not a lot of dialogue, just through his facial expressions and his eyes and his body language. And it's just, it comes across like really, really well.
I don't know if this is a Hollywood movie. It's probably an independent film. Did you check? Did you see?
I'm pretty sure it is. Yeah.
Independent. Yeah. It's movies like this, I think, that are going to be the future of American filmmaking. If it's not a superhero movie, it's going to be something like this. This could very easily...
Which I'm okay with that.
Yeah. That'll save filmmaking in the U.S. There's just too many shitty
fucking... Well, because there's so many people that... And we've talked about this lots of times before, but now, like, the technology to make movies is so cheap that, you know, pretty much anybody that really, really, really wants to badly can make one for not a lot of money.
You need to come up with a cool concept. It's got a cool story and good characters and a good script, a very tight edit. And execute this thing for a very short amount of money, but it has to be visually convincing. That's all. It doesn't have to be a Marvel movie or anything. And this movie did it. Like I said, it's the story and the characters that keep people, you know, coming back and buying these things and appreciating them. You know, it's what film is about. There is it's not all just super heavy in dialogue. They do show you a bunch of cool shit. Dream sequences,
like his dream, that the one dream sequence in particular that I'm thinking of, where all the furniture like floats up, that was so fucking cool.
Yeah, so there is stuff to see. It is cinematographic, I guess you could say. I'd put it up there with Art of Self Defense and Vivarium. It's that kind of independent film.
Yeah, I think this got a theatrical release, but very limited. I think it was just New York and LA it played.
Okay.
And then, but it played at some festivals. I think it won some Saturn Awards, which is usually, that's usually like the sci-fi horror thriller, awards or whatever. So it did like win a bunch of awards for that. I want to point out too that Jessica Chastain is great in this. She's like a great actress anyway. Wasn't she in It Chapter 2? I kind of feel like. Was she like grown up Beverly?
She looks like my cousin. Looks like my cousin Catherine.
They do look. They do look quite a bit alike.
Ginger like that. Yeah. Same kind of face.
Yeah, and the little girl in this was great too. The little. But yeah, so like I said, this is kind of one of those just. But there's something like really. I don't know. I just liked the whole vibe of this. It was just like a really, because it had this like pall of dread over the whole thing, because you weren't actually sure when he was having all these like freaky. You know, these just like deeply unsettling kind of visions, and you weren't really entirely sure like what was going on. So, you know, it was just like really, and then like his life kind of starts falling apart a little bit. But yeah, it's super good. Like I said, it's on Amazon Prime. Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's on Amazon Prime. You can watch for free, or I can't remember, because I thought it was, or maybe I looked it up on Amazon Prime and you had, or maybe it's on Hulu. I can't remember, because I know I looked it up on one of the streaming services and you had to pay to rent it, but then I looked it up on another one and you didn't have to pay to rent it. So maybe it was Hulu that it was free on. I can't remember, but yeah. So definitely check it out, and I'll be like checking out some more of Jeff Nichols' movies, because I looked a little bit into his like catalog, and pretty much all, this was his second movie. He's made a couple more subsequently, but all of his movies have got like really, really good reviews, and they all sound pretty good. And like I said, a couple of them have Michael Shannon in, and I'll watch pretty much anything with him in it. But yeah, so that'll do it for today, I guess. It's Tuesday, yeah? So that means tomorrow night is the drunk-ass sidetrack show.
Yeah, I'm ready.
So you're ready? He's mentally getting ready for it. Yeah, that should be fun. So yeah, come on by tomorrow evening at 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Have a drink with us. Talk about whatever bullshit we end up talking about. And we will see you guys again tomorrow. Bye.